The recording you are about to hear is an historic address to the 1964 convention of the American Federation of Musicians by its honored and longtime former president, James C. Petrillo. Although the address marked Mr. Petrillo's first appearance before a musicians' convention since his voluntary retirement as international president in 1958, you will hear an expression of the esteem in which Jimmy Petrillo still is held in the spontaneous applause that marked his return to the platform over which he so long and so ably presided. Following the initial applause, the first voice you will hear is that of the Federation's president, Herman Kennan, in an emotional introduction of his predecessor.
Since he retired in '58, and because because he is the kind of sensitive man that he is, he said, well, I don't want to interfere with your convention. I feel this is your show now. I have a lot of friends here. I just don't want to come there and make it a little tougher for you. This convention is held in Portland this year, and has been indicated here earlier. A dinner was given here for me on Friday nights. I had hoped to keep it down to a couple of dozen people, but my good judge, my good friend, the federal judge, insisted upon making it open to the public, and we had a great outpouring there, of course, which I'm very happy, proud. And the judge wrote a letter to Mr. Petrillo telling him that this dinner was being given for me in my hometown, and he thought it would be very nice, since Mr. Petrillo had actually placed me in this position, that he attend. And he is here, was here for that dinner, and now he's here for this convention. It is a great honor for me, I know how every one of you feel, to present now to this microphone our great, beloved President, James C. Petrillo.
I'm sure you want to hear me say a few words. If I'm too long... If I'm bothering you, tell me. I always got an ace in the hole. Anything I might say, I certainly don't want anyone to think for one moment that I'm offending anybody, because that's what I'm not here for. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. There was a time when I was punching left and right, but you get my age, you pray a little more, you go to church a little more, you get more religious. You begin to like everybody, even your enemies. And speaking of enemies, I want you all to know, and I hope before I get through with you, that I can impress upon you that we do have enemies within this organization that are very vicious. Unless we all wake up to the fact that they're around, we may not be around here very long. It's one of those things where you say, well, it couldn't happen to us, but it did. I've had some time off. I've been reading a little bit about history. I never cared for history, but I did. I was good at arithmetic, you know. So I came across a passage the other day that says Abraham Lincoln said 100 years ago or over that all who serve labor serve the nation. Those are beautiful words. And so true. I say to you that there is no chance for the full personal liberty for the individual. No society, no social system, not even the smallest human collective can exist without organization and guidance. And organization and guidance we have right here in this Federation. If the members will only take advantage of it. Organization and guidance means, as you well know, we're all contingent on one another, and if we break away, we get lost, and we're finished. Nobody, but nobody, can go it alone. That's why we're organized. This organization of ours owes us nothing. We all owe this organization. It's been very good to all of us. We should fight a little more to keep it going. 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, it's worth fighting for. And I would say, if the time ever came, even to shed blood for. Many of you have heard me say many a time in the past, show me an organization like this that's busted, and I'll show you that the employers didn't do it, but the members did it. Which leads me to believe and to tell you that the time has come that you appoint yourself a committee of one to be on the lookout for the enemies from within this organization. And again, I quote Abraham Lincoln when he said, fear not the destruction of our nation from the without, but if it ever should happen, it will be done from within. Remember those words, from within. It was not an easy matter to try and keep this organization on its feet during the dry days of our country. You all know what dry days, dry America means to the entertainment business. It means suicide. And those of us who were here at the time, we cemented ourselves together. To keep this old baby moving, standing on its feet. And then the depression of 1929 came in and the ceiling fell in on top of us. But we kept fighting the best we knew how. And that's one of the reasons that we're here today. We not only fought for those of us who were in the labor movement at the time to preserve the organization, for those of us who were around, but we fought to preserve the organization for the new generation so that they would have a place to go to protect their livelihood. Sadly enough, we find some of these very people that we fought for to protect them turned their backs on us, and now are trying to do anything within their power to break up this organization. I would like to ask them if they ever heard of the word gratitude. I think that the word gratitude, so far as they're concerned, is a lost word. Maybe the word ingratitude would fit them perfectly. One percent of the members of the entire labor movement, including the enemies within this organization, are endangering the future of the labor movement of America. These are the members who are working for something other than the best interest of the free labor movement. These members constitute a greater danger to the American labor movement than those on the outside who openly have been fighting labor for years. And because of these members, legislation in Congress, in the legislative halls of the cities and the states, are on the increase against labor. And unless labor does something about it, it will continue to increase. If we do not live up to our responsibilities as labor leaders, our organization may lose its purpose and we may find ourselves exactly where we started from. Sometimes I believe we should go out and fight a little more like we did in the old days. In those days, labor went out and exerted pressure. Oh, yes. Pressure is a dirty word. Congress uses it. The press uses it, and certainly the employers use it. And I say if it benefits the members of this organization, let's use it. Sure, the times have changed. There's certain things that times haven't changed. And in those labors, in those days, labor was not afraid by threats of court injunctions. As a matter of fact, they went out and asked for the retirement of the judge who issued an injunction and asked for the defeat of the sheriff who arrested the workers. And when it's all said and done, ladies and gentlemen, we are free trade unionists banded together not only to protect what we already have, but to go out and get more of it. I know of no organization that has more democracy than this one. I know of no organization that is better organized. I know of no organization that's had the cheaper dues or cheaper per capita tax. There's never been a scandal in this federation of ours because the services of your officers were never for sale. Then what is it that the enemy from within this union of ours wants from this organization? To me, the answer is obvious. All the contractors want in that outfit is to go back to the slavery days with slavery wages and slavery conditions, whereby the rich man gets richer and the poor man gets poor. We've made history in the labor movement. This organization has many firsts in the labor movement. Just here last November, the Teamsters said, we have just signed up a contract, the first industry-wide contract in the history of labor. Well, that just isn't so. Moving picture contract is industry-wide contract. Transcription and recordings, the same. Some of the traveling scales, the same. Radio and TV is industry-wide negotiated. So we not only made some firsts there, but not since last November, but for years and years. We even had a moving picture film trust fund at one time. We had the Music Performance Trust Fund. The Music Performance Trust Fund, ladies and gentlemen, made history in the labor movement. It made history because it was the first contract ever signed in a labor contract whereby an employer pays money to a worker who never worked for his company. This is the first time that that kind of a principle was introduced in a labor contract and was introduced by the American Federation of Musicians, if you please, and the coal miners. And the coal miners came second with the same kind of a fund. They received 10 cents on a ton of coal. But not until the musicians received so much money on every recording sold did the miners come clean. And don't let anybody tell you that the miners came first, because that's not so. The musicians came first with that kind of a contract, and the record is very clear on that situation.
can have a steady job in their jurisdiction. And the members on those jobs cannot play another engagement without the permission of the board in that jurisdiction. And those permissions are not promiscuously given. Would a pension fund, if you please, a welfare fund, a vacation fund, all paid for by the employer. So you see, we have many firsts in the labor movement. I don't know of any union that's had less strikes than we've had. Our members never had to go out and suffer the tortures of hell like other union members did in other unions. And I'll give you an example of only three unions out of close to 70,000 locals in the American labor movement of America. The Hatters Union went out on strike because they couldn't get $2 a week increase. $2 a week increase for their members. The employer sued the union for $250,000 because they considered a conspiracy against the employers. The employers won the case. And those members who owned property in that union lost their property, if you please, to make up the $250,000. And what they couldn't make up, the American Federation of Labor, which was also busted at the time, passed the hat around and made up the difference. Steelworkers went out on strike. 11 steelworkers killed in one day by company goons. All buried in one day in the same grave. United Automobile workers went out on strike in the Kohler plant in Kohler, Wisconsin. 3,500 men and women were out 8 years, if you please, 8 years. Some of the members were sent to hospitals by the sheriffs and the company goons. Some of them were sent to jail by trumped up charges by the employers and the sheriffs. Some of them were blackballed and blackmailed so they could never get their jobs back. Saying nothing of the millions and millions of dollars that were lost in wages. And the International Union. Show you how internationals have money. The International Union poured in over $13 million to support that strike in that local. I say that these members sacrificed for their union, and these unions didn't become strong until they went through these heartaches. And then what do we find?